had no pre-show conversation with Mike. So we're just going right from here.
You understand how this goes?
I have no idea.
Somebody's supposed to talk.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of throat clearing going on here.
Yeah. That must be Cormod.
Yeah.
If he's not burping, he's clearing his throat.
Okay.
Make it out of screw loose. Yeah.
And he called me on my cell phone when I was setting up the fort, so I didn't get the call.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know how to initiate a Skype call.
Is that Mike?
Yeah, he was like this when he was on the phone. He sounded way far away.
My usual distance.
Well, your mic is not at its usual response level. You doing your Cormod imitation? Never had a bad word to say about anybody, you know? Just was kind and gentle all the time. Generous in spirit.
What are you talking about?
You know,
these are things that your neighbors won't say about you when you finally snap.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh. You're not going to say, oh, I couldn't believe this guy had an outburst and killed a homeless man.
I know somebody who murdered somebody in the...
Oh, boy.
That's a nice topic. I don't know the person well or anything, but it was like one of the... I should maybe say allegedly, but... you know, the guy was convicted of what I'm saying, but... He just seemed off. Like, I knew him when he was 13 or something, and like you told me then, like, well, did he seem like the type who could kill somebody and then turn up to that person's wake? I'd be like, yeah, like that seems about right. So like, no, this guy could have a screw loose. Yeah.
Yeah, I had someone like that in my life too.
What happened to him?
He wasn't, I think he was involved in the murder of a prostitute in Florida.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, life is short.
It did make me think of something, though, Mike. When we talked about, we were talking about reading short stories or something like that, and PC Mike said, what is this? It's going to be a book club? And then I thought, what we should probably do is listen to a podcast episode. You know, like the Bret Easton Ellis one, or something like that, where we could all listen to that. And then,
I'd rather do a book club.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to listen to, like, a Freddy Smalls.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be bad.
Especially with his nasal condition.
No, it has to be Bret Easton Ellis.
I looked that up, Mike, and there was a whole class about broadcasting and proper breathing for broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
They didn't call it NPR breathing. But they did call it broadcaster's breath or something along those lines. Learn the broadcaster's breath.
That's not what he's doing.
No?
No, he...
Do you think he smokes too much? Or what are you trying to say?
I don't know if he had a cold or, you know, in that particular broadcast, you could hear just about every inhale. Maybe he's got the mic gone too high or something. I don't know, but you're hearing like every inhale.
Well, I felt that I could also hear that with Kurt Vile, who was his guest, so it may just be the way he sets it.
I didn't notice it on him.
Right. You didn't go back and listen again, though, either.
No.
I know, it was very hard for you. The first time.
Once was enough. You know, life is short. No, you can continue. I was just going to go on my usual weekly rant about work, how things are deteriorating.
Oh, you went easy last week.
Yeah, well, things...
Let's step it up.
Today I got the, like, most passive-aggressive good morning I've ever had in my life. You know, I told you before how I have to greet her every morning.
Right, and make sure that she, like, registers it.
And I think today's faux pas was that it wasn't the first thing I did when I got in the office. So I think she was upset about that. So she actually came to where I sit and just barely sort of, like, got visual that I could see her and just said good morning, you know, like that, and then ran away. I'm like, what is going on? And then, you know, I got an email for a meeting, and then my second faux pas was that I didn't respond to the email. I didn't respond, like, and say, yes, I'm going to go to that meeting. I mean, you know, I've gotten other emails for meetings, and I've never responded to every one of them. To me, it's just like I read it. All right, I've got the message, and I'll go to the meeting. I'll see you at the meeting. It's usually at like 9:15 or 9:30, right in the morning. So she got pissed off about that I didn't acknowledge the email. And then we, you know, so I go to the meeting, and I didn't realize it was just going to be a one-on-one meeting. It wasn't with, you know, the other person in my department. And then, you know, she just started going on about how I'm the worst person she's ever trained before. And I think she's only trained one other person. I didn't take
it. You didn't point that out to her, though.
Well,
When you started to tell me about her, it filled me with dread.
And then she, you know, she even acknowledged, like, Friday, you know, like I say, I'm not running to her office every 10 minutes to ask her a question. I try to reserve it for things where, obviously, I can't do something and I need her input. So Friday, which is a short day, I only work until 2 o'clock on Friday, I approached her, and, you know, the response I got was, I don't have time for you now. You know, so it's like I walked away. Yeah, all right, fuck it, you know. That's, you know, if that's the way you're going to be, you know, I'll just, you know, sit on my ass and twiddle my thumbs for the next hour or so. And then I think she realized she kind of was a little rude, and then she did come by. Eventually, but today in the meeting, she's talking about, well, maybe you may not like my demeanor. So she knows that she comes off this way, or why else would she say that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So you know, obviously she's gotten this criticism before, but what if it's her demeanor that she knows is a problem? Why doesn't she do anything to change it? Well, the reason she doesn't do it is because she's like running the show there, and she can do what she wants. And that's basically what she says to me. And I was like, well, you know, and then you know, I talk about how, you know, like I said, I had this incident on Friday, and I said, well, I don't always feel welcome to ask you questions. You're always too busy, and so on. And then, you know, so I told her I feel like I have limited access to her. She says, oh, that's bull. You know, so it's like, even when I try to just bring up topics, you know, it's dismissed. So, you know, I'm in a losing situation. I'm just going to stick it out for as long as I can go. You know, hopefully, you know, I'll be able to collect unemployment again at the end.
Yeah, got to hit that 6-month mark. Hang in there.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's just annoying. I've never had to work with somebody who's sort of just so clearly discouraging. I don't think she's ever said any, one positive thing about my presence there. You know, the whole thing has just been a disaster for her. You know, even though I was upfront about, you know, the fact that I never worked in InDesign, you know, it's not like I lied to them and now they're finding out I can't do things. I was upfront about all of this stuff. And now somehow I'm to blame that I'm the worst person she's ever trained before. And that's the other thing. I'm supposed to be taking notes of, you know, they don't have... Well, most companies, you know, I even participated at my last job where you had to, I thought it was like a waste of time, but I guess in the long run it probably was helpful. We had to do like a description of all the different procedures, you know, that we did.
Procedures manual.
Right, exactly. And most companies have them, you know, but, you know, here they don't, and I have to assemble one apparently from notes. You know, instead of, I'm just supposed to be taking notes all day long, you know, instead of doing the work,
Bring your recorder with you, Mike.
Yeah, well,
and
that now.
Listen to it.
I don't think that would go over well. Because she'll probably think I'll be using that against her.
In a court of law.
But she's. I mean, it's. Even if she was doing something really horrible, I would feel like, well, she's going to win out in the end because she's too valuable right now, you know? And she's made herself valuable, and part of it is that, like, you know, nobody else knows what she does because there is no manual. Because there is still a mystery to me.
You guys know that there's another FOT Skype chat?
Jeez.
I had no idea.
No.
It's an FOT
Splitters.
Skype chat. I don't know how often they meet, but...
I thought they were just a Facebook group.
No, not now. It's gone up a level. It's a Skype chat now.
What are they reading?
More importantly, who are the ringleaders?
Yeah!
King Penguin Rock. And, yeah. So, it can't be that great. I think what's the person who was in here,
Erica?
I forget her name. Yeah, Erica. She must be a part of this.
Yeah, we probably showed her how to use the Skype properly.
Yeah, and then she took advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, she set up a book club outside of the Best Show board already.
Yeah.
So she has no compunction about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Did she raise money on the board to start her Skype chat?
Ooh, good question, Stan.
Wait, did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did.
No, my mic was off.
What was the story behind?
Are we going to tolerate this?
I don't know.
We could go after him. We could sick trolley whack him in on him.
Yeah, they're talking about
cling, cling.
Thomas Pynchon's inherent vice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, we could troll him. Mike's the ball buster,
yeah.
Remember? He's experienced at these things. Are you down with this idea, Mike?
The idea?
Running an insurgency?
From the pallet he's going to do.
He's laying down again. Just give him
or is it a counter revolution?
Gotta get some iced tea.
Okay, me too.
It's iced tea time. I only drink it during the summer.
Yeah, I gotta get some iced tea, too.
Do you drink caffeinated tea, Mike? Is it black tea or?
Lipton. A mix.
Lipton's probably black tea, I guess. Do you buy it already mixed or do you make your own?
You know, you get the powder.
Oh!
So there's little or no tea involved in this process.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not brewing tea and then chilling it. No.
Really?
I just use the mix.
We just figured you're like Uncle Si walking around with that Tupperware cup and the jug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's his son.
Who's Uncle Si?
Are you sitting on, you're wearing a full white suit? Sitting on a, sipping on a mint julep?
I do declare.
I guess I'll have to research this later, then. I'm not getting anywhere.
Oh, he's a character on a reality show. He's a Vietnam vet who's, you know, a little out there, and he's known for carrying around this cup of iced tea and a jug of iced tea at all times. Kind of like Ricky in Trailer Park Boys with the rum and coke in his hand in every scene of every episode. Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're right. I apologize, Cormod. And, of course, the Dougal and to the rest of Canada.
Well,
we're insulting you, your national treasure.
And I'm supposed to watch season 7 when I get a free moment, right?
Oh, is that the Patrick Swayze train season?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the one you recommended.
I enjoyed that season, yeah. I enjoyed pretty much all of them, but...
Really? Did you watch the second movie?
No, no, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, I thought that was...
They made a movie about it?
There are three movies.
Two or three.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I only saw The Big Dirty, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that one was all right. The second one was just terrible. It was very amateurish.
And... Oh. Well, what was the first one, then?
It was more... seemed to have a...
It was directed by Jason Reitman, the guy who did Juno, and I think that's where he met Ellen Page, because Ellen Page used to be on Trailer Park Boys.
So was the first movie just called Trailer Park Boys?
Well, The Big Dirty, isn't it?
No, I thought The Big Dirty was the one.
No, something about liquor.
So, oh, Countdown to Liquor Day? No, I think that was that's the second one. That's the second one.
You said that wasn't very good.
No.
All right.
I'm thinking Liquor and Horrors, but that's a song.
Yeah, that's Bubbles. Is a
by whom?
Anthem. Bubbles.
Oh, is that a character too?
Yeah, he's the guy who lives in the shed behind Julian's, and he takes care of the kitties in the trailer park.
Oh, so it is
the movie is actually Trailer Park Boys, the movie, also known as The Big Dirty.
I thought that was the bad one, Cormod. If I listened to you, I'd be confused.
No, I said the second one was the bad one.
The third one was the big dirt.
Hey, Frederick.
No, the first one was the big dirt.
Not to interrupt this.
That's just fascinating.
Scintillating conversation.
If there were only a database of movies that we could...
Yeah. The third one is called Don't Legalize It.
I was going to say, somebody should call Mike Clattenburg right now and ask him. He would know.
So what was the question, Mike?
I wanted to ask you, when I posted my five favorite movies, you said you hadn't seen three of them. What three haven't you seen?
What were your five?
Well, actually, I was just, you know... I don't have, like, a five, you know, in stone. I was thinking of, like, movies I saw recently and movies that I like. And I was picking movies that all had, like, sort of significant soundtracks. So I had Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Which I did not see.
You never saw that?
Nope.
McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
That one I saw. I liked that one. I didn't remember the music particularly.
Well, it's Leonard
Cohen. Really? Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Then Tree of Life, I think you mentioned.
Yeah, you haven't seen that yet?
No.
Oh, you gotta see that one, Frederick. Right. That'll blow your mind.
Okay, I like that.
I mean, you're always looking for these mind-blowing experiences.
I wanna check that one out, huh?
Get you know, put yourself in a tent. Just, you know, make sure it's dark and quiet in there.
Okay.
You can watch it and 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 watch it. Do you have a big screen television?
I got it. What's big?
Then no, 3 inch plasma.
No.
You don't have a flat screen?
No.
No HDTV. Oh.
But you're scoffing at all this other stuff.
So what are you watching on?
Television.
But what size television do you have?
I'll get my tape measure.
28 inch.
Does somebody have to tell them to measure diagonally? That's the next question.
When we were in high school, there were a bunch of guys all used to drink in this one guy's basement, Stu McRae. And if you turned off his TV, you'd scream at him because it took 3 days to warm up. Don't turn it off! It takes 3 days to warm up.
It's digital.
Oh, you don't even have cable?
No, but I do have a really nice antenna, and I have about a 24-inch screen.
24,
okay. Or 25, I don't know. I didn't really use the tape measure. I used my forearm. And then
you have a friend that...
You have a forearm 24 inches long? Sweet Jesus.
You have a local relative that has a big TV to watch it on?
No.
Because you're not really going to get the full effect watching The Tree of Life on a 24-inch.
So I got to see it in the theater or something.
Well, that's gone. You missed that opportunity. Mm. No, I was just getting around.
Oh, okay.
Actually, compared to your 24-inch television, non-HD TV, maybe
that might be a better choice.
Yeah, yeah. You might get a better picture.
How much did you pay for your TV, Frederick?
Oh hell, I don't know.
It was 1998, for God's sake.
It was when they stopped with the analog, and you could only buy digital.
Oh, so it was like 2001.
Yeah, that's about right. Might have been a little later than that. But I was surprised the other day. I was setting up the Wii, and I pushed the wrong button, and we do get TV shows.
Yeah.
But I turned it off, and then I...
So what video games are you playing?
Video games? No, I'm doing exercises. I like doing the balance games and stuff like that. Wii Fit.
Really, you need a shoe. How much does a Wii cost?
I don't know. $200?
It's like, yeah, Fredericks and my 73-year-old mother use the Wii Fit. It's awesome. Actually, she's really into the tennis on there, too.
Oh, that's
she,
too easy.
She kicked my ass.
That's
I don't know.
That's so easy. No. I'm doing the balance games. And, like, where you have a bubble going down the river and stuff.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's fantastic. Yeah. And, man, does that work out your legs.
Maybe you could, like, compete online or something.
Me against your 70, only if we wager.
Can we do that? Is there a multiplayer option on Wii where we could all be having a Skype chat while balancing going down a river?
Oh, that would be fun. Oh, look, Dougal just popped.
Does this game have guns?
No, but you can't do snowball fights.
Interesting.
I ever tell you about the office I worked in where like half the office was playing Doom?
Playing what?
Doom? Wasn't that the name of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just searching to your friends to kill them, right?
Yeah. I've seen that in people's
Yes, my best day ever as a temp was a day I spent, I got hired at an ad agency for a day, and I spent 3/4 of it playing Doom.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then they fired you.
I was just in, but the things, I was just being hired for the day as a temp.
Yeah.
And you were already doing Doom.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, this place is unbelievable. I mean, and believe it or not, I mean, everybody had it so easy at this place. But, of course, people, you know, human nature, they couldn't control themselves. And there were still people complaining. People would complain about stuff.
And I can't get headsets for the Doom multiplayer.
Yeah, right.
How come we got these?
My video card is too slow to play Doom.
Yeah. But, yeah, believe it or not, like they complained so much that the main office in Meegan, Minnesota said, you know, we're tired of those New York people. They just closed you up. That was that. And it's, you know, it's a big name. It's West Group is a local publisher.
And the moral of that story is?
People complain no matter how good they have it.
Oh. Yeah.
Don't screw up a good thing.
I thought it was a squeaky wheel gets the axe. All right. I thought it was pretty good. Where's my button? Thank you. I carry that around with me all day for that reason.
Are you reloading a gun?
And just...
He's in Florida.
And discharging.
Locked and loaded.
Yeah, I was reading a column, again, Florida column, and they said, you know, and there's certain things that you just can't do, you know. He was talking about the rules, you know, and you've got to...
The rules?
Yeah. You're supposed to stop at stop signs and respect the speed limits, and you can't shoot your neighbor.
Yeah, these are laws.
Unless you're in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, he's making... By calling them rules, he's making it seem like they're just, you know...
It's
common decency things. Yeah.
Well, it was actually, I think, a letter to the editor, and he was just talking about, you know, that we're always working on a balance between anarchy and totalitarianism.
Well, yeah, in Florida you are, but you up here, not so much.
You just got all totalitarianism up there? Or yeah, anarchy?
No.
I'm south of the Raritan River, so no, the anarchy's north of us.
So North Jersey is anarchistic?
No, it's hard to say.
Hard to say. Because I won't go in there to find out. It's dangerous. Now, North Jersey, is that where it connects with New York or no?
More or less, yeah.
Okay. And where's Newark? Like in the middle?
No, North Jersey.
North Jersey, just across the river, kind of.
Okay. Yeah.
But that's the town that's really out of control, right? That is the anarchistic part of it.
No, I mean,
people just get shot there a lot, that's all.
Okay. I used to go to college there. Yeah.
But do they go to jail for it, or do they just get to carry on?
No, people get shot. They go to the hospital.
They go to jail, then they go to trial, and then they get off.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But.
That's what happens in Florida.
Yeah, so it's not like, yeah, it's not like Florida.
Oh, yeah.
The crime-ridden city.
No, I thought that was like the murder capital of the Northeast or something.
Is Camden worse?
Oh, okay. Could that be. North Jersey, too?
No, that's South Jersey. That's right next to Trenton.
Oh.
Just across the river from Philadelphia.
Oh.
Which, you know.
Yep.
Couldn't see that coming.
Yeah, Philadelphia's a funny town. Yep.
See, there are no seatbelt laws in Florida. Come on.
Yeah, there are.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I resisted for years and years.
Of course you did.
Why?
I know, that's what I asked myself one day after years and years. I said, why? Who are you rebelling against? And I said, I don't know. And so I put my seatbelt on. And I do it all the time now.
Good call.
Yeah. Seems like good policy.
Yeah, well, it was probably Ralph Nader got to me.
Well, not the, you know, all the accidents where people died.
Go through the windshield in.
Because they were not wearing their...
Oh, wait. Are you one of those motorcycle helmet guys, Cormod?
Motorcycle helmet guys? What is that? I don't...
You think motorcyclists should have to wear helmets?
You had an accident while you weren't wearing a helmet, which explains everything.
Yeah, I mean,
I just did a newsletter or article about the motorcycle helmet issue.
Oh, fantastic!
And the outcome of the study was that the full helmet, full facial helmets are the most protective, and that the half helmet and riding without a helmet are about the same.
No kidding!
There's no difference.
Well, I mean, if you want to keep your face... A full face helmet's a good idea because, you know, your jaw against pavement, it's, you know, 70 miles an hour.
That's a big if.
Doesn't work very well, you know.
Yeah, just, but you're just one of those helmet guys. I don't know.
I've said this before here. One of the first things I saw on the internet was on cadavers.org when a guy did a face plant off a Harley wearing a stupid little helmet, you know.
So, Frederick, what?
His jaw was gone.
Yeah.
What is your argument against? Or do you have one?
I'm curious about this, too. If you come down against helmets or a motorcycle, I kind of do in a way because it's like you don't have enough things to put one on there.
You probably have exhaust loud enough that I can't turn my TV, so it's okay. It's okay. It's okay if you go die. You can go die.
It's about summer. The damn motorcycle's coming up my hill and the firework around the 4th of July. Everything else I'm cool with.
You press die now quickly.
Yeah, I had a friend, he died. He wasn't wearing a helmet.
That happened to a cousin. Well, I guess it was my mom's cousin, so I don't know. He had a brain injury after it. He seemed like pretty strange for quite a while. I don't know if he's fully recovered or not. I haven't seen him in a bit.
Here comes the thunderstorm again. Okay, guys, entertain me. I'm disappearing.
Jesus, my mom's other cousin in the same family died in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, God.
Wasn't a truck, you know? Like, I don't know.
Curb running through their hair. Well done, Dougal. Well done.
What's that?
Wait, Dougal, nobody heard that comment. You gotta drop that again.
Some people just like the feeling of a curb running through their hair.
I enjoyed that.
No, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine, I don't know what kind of motorcycles they are. They're ones that would probably, these dudes are kind of, I don't even have like Harleys or
okay.
something.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes you have to ask, but like with Frederick's friend, a 400-pound guy with someone on the back, I'm guessing that wasn't like a sport bike of any sort.
Right.
No, maybe I'm generalizing, but yeah.
She did break her pelvis.
She did break her pelvis. It was a Harley 1200. Yeah.
Has Frederick's ever ridden a motorcycle?
Not anymore. He's dead now.
Thank you for...
What?
No, what? After I split my molar, that was good enough for me. Yep, and a forearm full of road rash.
Oh.
I just said enough of that.
Sounds like you were not wearing a full-face helmet and full protective gear.
Yeah, it sounds like you were barely dressed.
Wait, I did have shoes on, though.
Really? You weren't in flip-flops? You weren't that guy? I've seen that guy. Go with God, dude. Go with God. All right.
Are there any outlaw motorcycle gangs in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever...
Most of them.
I did go to a party with the Pagans once.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah, but they were on their very best behavior, and it was a fine evening. No one got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know they were going to be there when I arrived, but I didn't want to turn around and leave just because...
Hey, you'd see, like, three motorcycle following you.
No, there's the Pagans, the Outlaws. You don't see very many Hell's Angels around here.
I'm sure there's a chapter somewhere down there.
Oh, but... I am too. I just don't think...
But isn't the Hell's Angels kind of like... I don't know.
Don't badmouth them. We'll have them come and beat them.
No, there's still a thing. I remember back in the 80s, there was this one neighborhood in Lower Manhattan, like in the Village, where they had a chapter... And it was pretty much, like, crime-free, and you just didn't, like, fuck around there, because you'd get just beaten to death.
Yeah, I heard the musician say that he lived on that block.
Yeah?
Yeah, and he said it was great. He said you really didn't have to worry about anything, you know, and they waved to you and stuff. They were your neighbors.
Oh, nice.
As long as you don't do anything wrong.
Based on their perception of wrong.
That's true. That's true. Well, that's kind of like how the IRA used to work in Ireland. You know? You could shoot British people, but if you dealt pot, they'd kneecap you.
The Catholics.
Yeah.
My grandmother was from the Armagh, which is in the Murder Triangle in Northern Ireland. Actually, her entire family had to leave. She remembered she had one of her brothers had to flee to Australia because he it was called going hunting with the Black and Tan. And Black and Tan is a phrase for Guinness, but it was also the name of a Protestant paramilitary group.
Oh, is it? I think I heard that in a movie I watched recently about a famous...
This would have been in the 20s and 30s, though.
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
The Troubles.
Forget it. The Troubles?
Yeah, that's what they used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Very casual way of describing a decades-long war. It didn't make centuries, did it?
part of the thing is that it's just needless provocation on the part of, like, Protestants. There's a thing called marching season, right? And it's basically a bunch of people, and they sing, they're called marching songs, and they refer to battles 300 years ago. And they're just rubbing it in the faces of the people. Yeah, it's super. Yeah, it couldn't be more.
If the people came down from the
north. Couldn't be more obnoxious or awful, or like needlessly provocative. Like, it's a parade of them just being the worst asshole.
Those are the orange people, right?
Yes, my grandfather was one. Great grandfather. A notoriously horrible person.
Go figure.
Mike's probably got some Irish stories, if we can get them up.
It just reminds me of something I saw on a reality show on BBC, well, a fall reality show, Almost Royal, where...
Oh, is that the you posted? Didn't you post
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that.
Where the woman says, we don't like the Irish, they're sneaky. I laughed, you know. Yeah, definitely worth watching. It's really obnoxious.
Oh, I don't think I can handle it. I watched the Tree of Life on my little TV.
In the tent.
I watched the Tree of Life.
Five movies you loved. What happened to the last two? No reply.
I haven't even watched that one about the desert one.
Desert one?
The Simon of the Desert?
Yeah.
You did not watch it?
Not yet. I still have it. Like I said, man, to sit down for that long, I do that once a week, right here.
It's 40 minutes, that movie.
Okay, well, that's okay. I'll probably live with that.
Yeah, that's kind of the treat about that one. And I watched it to free from familiarize myself with it, because I thought maybe you would have seen it. I watched it last night, and it's freaking hilarious. Like, I had forgotten. I actually was laughing out loud a number of times.
Wow.
So you have that to look forward to.
Okay. Yeah, well, we're supposed to finish up Godfather Part 2.
Oh, okay. Are you liking that?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not as good as the discreet charm of the bourgeoisie, but...
Do you like it better than the first
performance?
Do you like it better than the first Godfather? I think some people do, right?
Yeah, it seems to be
a lot of people
pretty
do.
Well.
I think I prefer the second one to the first one.
I like the first one more, I'd say. I've seen the first one more often than I have a question about those movies. I never was much of a fan of those, but over the winter, some friend of mine had a box set of them. I wanted to watch the third one for the first time, and I had read that you need to be very familiar with the first two in order to really fully appreciate the third one, which I guess isn't really any good.
The third one sucks.
Yeah, that's what
I haven't watched the whole thing. I've watched about 45 minutes of it. It's just so... unlike the first two, and it's just like a mediocre movie.
And does it look like it was made in the early 90s? That's my biggest fear. It's going to, like, just scream its era, even though...
Yeah, and Al Pacino's doing the new Al Pacino voice.
The guy who was in, like, the one... After he played that... I don't know if it was before or after The Godfather, but after he played that blind man in that movie, it just seemed like that was who he was after that. That was weird.
But I never saw it, but isn't that one directed by his daughter, Sofia Coppola?
No, she's in it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Winona Ryder was supposed to be in
it. Female or something? No, wait, that's a Cramps album.
Yeah, Winona Ryder.
She was supposed to be in it, but yeah. She backed out, so he's like, oh, let me get my daughter up in it. And I guess that wasn't so great of an idea.
I don't know what happened to that guy, Francis Ford Coppola. It's just like, at a certain point, he just lost all his talent. I mean, making movies like Jack.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That Dracula.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Somebody's got a train going by, or are you on an airplane?
I'm the landing.
let me ask my question. Are those movies, can you actually follow The Godfather and The Godfather 2?
Yeah.
So far, I've been doing all right, yeah.
I had to watch the second one twice to fully be like, okay, I get this, you know?
Did you watch the second one long after you watched the first one?
No, like the following night I watched.
Well, no excuse there then.
And the first one, I like don't I still have things I don't understand about it. Like, all right, like for instance, when Sonny gets shot, like was that intentional? Like, did Michael know about that?
No.
No.
Okay. All right, good. All right, I didn't think so.
What I wanted to know about that particular scene, though,
yeah,
is what happened to the people in the booth that closed the windows? Did they all get shot up, too?
Well, that's a good question. They don't really go back to
them. They don't. And I said, what happened to the poor workers?
So,
they just got paid off, but... But it's kind of weird because you think that questions would be asked about that.
Yeah, they just...
And
it seemed like they machine gunned so much that there was no way that those people were safe unless they were in bulletproof booths.
Well, did they duck?
Yeah, but then...
Yeah, but they shot that thing up so good.
I thought they shot from the. Maybe I don't remember correctly. I thought they shot from the. Facing away from the booth.
No, because you could see the car, and then the booth was behind it, and he was like turning to his left, and it, like whatever.
The car was in front of him. He was beeping at it, right?
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to assume that they did not die from the.
Did not perish.
Yeah.
Well, I just presume they did. Because otherwise...
No, they were paid off, and they knew when to duck down because of the... maybe they weren't paid off. Maybe there's, you know, if you don't do this, we'll kill you.
Yeah, I don't think you have to...
Well, no, they were in a union, so of course, you know, all unions are evil, and they were part of organized crime. That's part of the inherent message, don't you think? No, I'm just fucking...
Oh, I didn't
continue.
I didn't know they were in a union.
It's in New Jersey.
I just thought that was a big thing to leave hanging for us not to know what, you know, because it could have been a comical scene if somebody just popped their head up for a second. So.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been a whole other movie.
So,
and it was Wally Wackerman popping his head. That's what it sounded like.
And that lounge singer at the beginning of it, that guy's based on Sinatra?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Was Sinatra really that mobbed up?
Oh, yeah. So everybody was PC. Anybody that was big. I remember hearing about Louis Armstrong almost ruining his upper lip because he had such a bad blister, and he kept trying to finish his set, but the mob or the guy that was in charge of the club kept telling him that he had to play. He had to keep playing. So he just had to keep playing, even though he was, you know, fearing of losing his career completely. And he'd already given the guy more than his money's worth for the evening. And all the club scenes were very mobbed up.
Tom was on, he was talking about that Cliff Nesterhoff, the guy, and that's what he's like.
He showed up on Danny LaBelle.
That's Duncan Trussellfeld and Thomas.
Never heard of
him. I really need to know which one.
Is he related to Patty LaBelle?
LoBelle, L-O-B-E-L. And Dougal knows of him. I don't know how well, but he did know of him.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't catch it.
That's okay. You done good, Thelma. You done good.
Danny LaBelle. Danny LaBelle.
Not Daniel Lavoie or Lenoir?
Yeah, no.
Why are you giving us these? Like, it's not like we're going to go check these guys out.
I would like us to all listen to this podcast and discuss it next week.
You're nuts.
It's called Modern Day Philosophers, and he doesn't know anything about philosophy, nor do most of his guests. They read the quote and they discuss it and stuff.
Quotes, does he, like Plato? Like quotes from Plato or something?
A lot of Marshall McLuhan.
No, they haven't gotten there yet.
If there's any Marshall McLuhan.
He had Helen Hong on and they talked about Confucius, and they decided that Confucius was really pretty much a dick. Oh. He's the one that said children should be seen and not heard.
He's Spike, yeah.
And Andy Kindler blew my mind in the way he was able to interpret Michel Foucault. It was incredible. I did not think he was going to do at all well, and he did fantastic. And then Mark Maron was on to talk about Baruch Spinoza.
It looks like this Lobel guy's been on Maron's show. I'm trying to remember if I...
And then there's the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. And I haven't listened to as much of that
stuff. I've heard of that guy.
He's a nice guy, and I guess he used to be a real dick. And he had a puppet and was like one of the mean skeptics and made fun of the religionists. He ended up getting cancer, and his ma died.
Yeah. Is there a funny end to this story? Is there a hilarious twist to that you're warming up to?
Yeah, he's really nice, and he's pretty humorous. He's very psychedelic.
How can someone be like, what is the, they don't have a music or a movie could be psychedelic, but how is a person psychedelic?
Yeah, it's somebody that looks at things as in a broader spectrum, you know, like a fuller scope, rather than the narrow direct line. It's sort of like the difference between a floodlight and a spotlight. Most people are spotlights, and a psychedelic person is more of a floodlight. They take more in, but frequently without clarity.
This is a superior human being.
No, I said without as much clarity. You have to switch back and forth.
I missed that.
But they factor more things in.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about people who have an inability to focus.
Oh, you mean it takes them like 2 weeks to watch a movie and stuff like that?
That's very psychedelic. Watching it in 15-minute spurts, perhaps, over the course of 2 weeks. There you go. There you go. It's not how you get there. It's just that you get there.
And the thing is that he ended up, he's really into Ram Dass and stuff. We got a lot of good stuff from that. It's nice. He's a good guy. He's probably been on Mark Maron's show, too.
Yeah, yeah. When I Googled him, I did an image search on him, and that him standing next to Maron.
But I guess, and he really despises his previous incarnation with a
book. His previous incarnation sounds kind of funny.
You might like it. But he doesn't like.
Well, the puppet thing.
But in both him and Maron, but they both talked about the darkness of the store, and I'm sure.
Oh yeah, that's something that Maron goes on constantly about. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Duncan Trussell said he got caught up in the darkness of the store too, you know. And they talked about how comedians are all basically loners and constantly in competition. And how they, you know.
What is the store?
The comedy store.
Oh, okay.
It was like where he would be hanging out with Kennison and shit like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just seems like a grade A sleaze, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't think Stan Kennison was very funny, huh, Mike?
A little bit. I don't get how a lot of comedians are funny. Like, it's like, he's one of them. I never quite got that. And I think that would be tough now. I was a kid when he was around, first of all, and I think now it would be it would seem very dated. I don't, a lot of stand-up comedy doesn't seem like
it. Did he use the bullhorn?
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
I just remember screaming and
a lot of yelling, yeah. I mean, he's a creepy guy. He used to be on Stern all the time. And,
did you like his advice?
He was like worse just off the cuff, I think, than he was in his act.
Really?
You like his advice to starving children in Africa?
Move to some place where there's food?
Yeah.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah.
You live where there's no food.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what all those kids are doing coming up from Central America.
Yeah, following Stan Kenison's advice.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I wonder how he'd feel if starving kids jumped up in the States.
And then what happens? They get thrown into detention centers and sent back to the places without any food. That was not good advice, Mr. Kenison. Did he die now?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was one of the better Mark Maron shows from early on when some guy who was like Kenison's opener, I'd go on tour with him all the time.
Uh-huh.
He was on and he was telling some story about like how like Kenison like died in his arms in a road accident, a car accident, I mean. And like after Kenison was dead, this is years ago, I listened to this, so I might get this a little wrong. After Kenison was dead, he found out that his child was in fact Sam's and not his own. So like, no, his name's, yeah. And then he found out that his, yeah, and then like, that was kind of like a funny thing because then he like, was like, wow, like, wanting to kill this guy, but like he was already dead, you know, and that was kind of, then the guy who survived decided he was going to go kill himself and that story was actually hilarious. Like, and that one was really dark. And then there was like a third suicide one where I think the guy tried to like, was getting all messed up on GHB, and tried to cut off his own head during it. Some kind of GHB stupor. That was kind of tough to listen to.
Did he start from the front or the back?
I don't remember. It was making me really queasy to listen to it. It was very...
From the top.
Artie Lang should be on there.
He was.
He was. Did he describe... Was this before his suicide attempt?
Yeah, he talked about that too. No, he was on recently. It was on the last year, I think.
Yeah, so it was all fucked up. And... Yeah.
Did he try to kill himself at his mom's or something?
Yeah, he tried to stab himself with the...
Yeah, that's right.
Butcher.
There was a guy I listened to on Marin today who was great. Was it the amazing Jonathan? Is that his name?
Yeah, I heard that one. Yeah, that was on that's the most recent one, right?
Yeah. It's like it's the most heartwarming tale of a total degenerate.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And he ended up making so much money too, right?
Yeah, you feel it, and it's weird. Yeah, he was like a multi-millionaire. But his stories were really, really interesting, and even when they were totally sleazy, they didn't come across. They were weirdly not as sleazy as you'd expect.
And that guy,
normally, you think of a person, you don't. He somehow managed to inject some kind of humanity into being a strip club DJ in Alaska.
In a way that I didn't.
Yeah.
You'd have to be a pretty human to make that happen.
Yeah, I found it quite hard to listen to, but it was one of the better ones.
Oh, and when Marin
that I've ever heard.
Do you find Marin hard to listen to?
No, that one is the amazing Jonathan, is that his name?
Yeah,
I just found it because he's very sick.
And yeah, and
when he was talking about that, I found that hard to listen to.
Yes, right.
I found that quite painful.
I mean, and that was right up.
When he's talking about he's got very serious heart. Too, yeah. Where he comes in and he says he's taken off. He has an automatic defibrillator that he wears like a vest that he took off for the sake of the show. Where because he can pass out, his heart could stop at any minute, and this thing would detect it and. You know, say automatically the voice would go off and say clear and shock him back into life. Like, but he took it off for the Marin interview.
Wow. Just to make it more exciting, or was it interfering with the recording, or?
No, it was partly to make it more exciting, but I think the thing is, this guy's also a showman, right? Like, it's just this weird thing is he loves to play pranks on people, but also has to tell people, listen, if I do actually fall down, please help me get back up again. He was super successful, and he was making tons and tons of money in Vegas, but still ended up doing, I don't know, he just came across as I found him very weirdly sympathetic.
Oh, well, I will have to investigate that.
All of the Marins that are death, like, have elements of death in them, I always find the most compelling, and
The suicide ones I'm fascinated by. The people come back and tell their tales of trying to kill themselves, or that stuff is pretty.
Does anyone watch Marin's TV show?
No.
I watched one episode of it.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
The one with the
Jerry
possum?
Stiller, right? Was
yes,
there?
I watched one with the possum, yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was perfectly fine. I wasn't embarrassed for him or anything, but I just don't really watch shows like that at all. So it was just like, I kind of knew I was only going to check it out. I didn't sort of think like, oh, I'm going to get crazy into this or anything.
Yeah, that's how I was.
But yeah, I thought it was perfectly fine. I was very worried because I was sort of, when he said he was getting a show on his podcast, I was like, I thought it would be ideal for him to have like an interview show on HBO or something where... Yeah. You know, it could kind of replicate what he does
on the
podcast. But when I found out it was actually a scripted show, I was just like, uh-oh. But no, it seemed like it was a fine. It was good.
Oh, it was better than I expected, so I like
yeah, same here. Yeah.
He did a great job reading Bukowski.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's there you go. Now you remind me which one he was.
Yeah, I wish Mark had heard that.
Yeah, where's Mike?
He's laying down.
On the pallet.
Make me a pallet on your floor.
What's going on?
There he is. You can hear him. He's doing it.
Yeah, Frederick's just talking about Bukowski.
Oh, I hate that guy. I hate that guy.
I think I might be with Mike. I've never read, dude, but I think I might be in his corner.
You should hear Mark Maron read one of his poems.
Oh, I never even got to the poetry.
What was the gist of the poem that Maron read?
It was that it's not the big things that drive a person insane.
Right.
It's one little thing. It's a broken shoelace.
That's right.
Oh, wow. What an original.
It was written very well.
The shoelace, a woman, a tire that's flat, a disease, a desire, fears in front of you, fears that hold so still you can study them like pieces on a chessboard. It's not the large things that send a man to the madhouse. Death he's ready for, or murder, incest, robbery, fire, flood. No, it's the continuing series of small tragedies that send a man to the madhouse. Not the death of his love, but a shoelace that snaps with no time left. The dread of life is that swarm of trivialities that can kill quicker than cancer and which are always there. License plates or taxes or expired driver's license or hiring or firing, doing it or having it done to you, or roaches or flies or a broken hook on a screen, or out of gas or too much gas. The sink's stopped up, the landlord's drunk, the president doesn't care and the governor's crazy. Light switch broken, mattress like a porcupine, $105 for a tune-up, carburetor, and fuel pump at Sears Roebuck, and the phone bill's up, and the market's down, and the toilet chain is broken, and the light has burned out, the hall light, the front light, the back light, the inner light, it's darker than hell, and twice as expensive. Then there's always crabs, and ingrown toenails, and people who insist they're your friends. There's always that, and worse, leaky faucet, Christ and Christmas, blue salami, 9-day rains, 50-cent avocados, and purple liverwurst, or making it as a waitress at Norm's on the split shift, or as an emptier of bedpans, or as a car wash, or a busboy, or a stealer of old ladies' purses, leaving them screaming on the sidewalks with broken arms at the age of 80. Suddenly, two red lights in your rearview mirror and blood in your underwear, toothache and $979 for a bridge, $300 for a gold tooth, and China and Russia and America and long hair and short hair and no hair and beards and no faces and plenty of zigzag but no pot, except maybe one to piss in and the other one around your gut. With each broken shoelace, out of 100 broken shoelaces, one man, one woman, one thing enters a madhouse. So be careful when you bend over. Ah!
What was this on?
It was on
Mark Maron's podcast.
WTF with Duncan Trussell as the guest.
Yeah, who's that?
No, I did read Hollywood. Uh-huh. I thought that was all right. Did you read that one?
No, I've only read three. I read Ham on Rye, Post Office, and Women.
I only read Hollywood and a couple books of his poetry, so we're in different
worlds. Did you see Barfly?
Yeah.
Mike, did you see Barfly?
I saw when it came out. What was that, the 80s?
I haven't.
I think you followed me on Twitter when after I made a joke about, well, your mother's Four Locos smells like carpet cleaner. There's the one. It's the one line my friends always used to quote from that movie. Except it wasn't Four Loko. Your mother's, whatever, fill in the blank. Smells like carpet cleaner. He's seeing it, he's picking a fight with somebody at the bar.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan. I mean, if I had to pick one of the three that I read, I'd recommend Ham on Rye, because it kind of explains why he was such a sort of horrible person. His father was, used to beat him.
Brutal, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, not that that excuses him for the rest of his life, but, I mean, at least you can sort of figure it out in that book, because you're getting, how it all started off, you know.
I saw a powerful movie about him, a biographical movie. With him, I mean, he was a star of it.
Yeah, I think I saw the same thing.
And then he kicked his wife, towards the end.
Yeah, well, if you want to see what a creep he was, read Women. That's the creepiest of the three I read.
Then I read a short story about a girl that put needles in her cheeks, underneath her eyes. I didn't understand that one completely. He was in a. It was a book of romantic stories.
I picked up the Evel Knievel book again.
Oh, really?
I finally finished that George Packer book, The Unwinding, which I recommend. I mean, it's kind of like the. I guess he's a big fan of John Dos Passos. I don't know if you know him. He was like he wrote a trilogy called USA. I guess like in the 30s. And it was a pretty ambitious series of novels, and he was a well-known author for a while. But he's not as well-known today. And he would just try and sort of bring everything that was going on into his books. So he'd have like chapters that were like newspaper reports. Radio broadcasts and stuff. He just tried to get everything in there to give you like a picture of the times when he wrote it. And that's what this Unwinding book is like.
I was going to say, I've read references to Packer on completely different topics. One was like pop music or pop cultural, and then the other was like economics or something like that. So.
Yeah, well, he's trying to give you like what's going on, I think I talked about it before. He sort of profiles three different people. One was a guy who worked with Joe Biden from early on, and he was sort of in and out of Biden's camp, working with him, and he eventually sort of became, disillusioned with the whole political process. The other profile, I think the most interesting guy in there is a sort of a business, well, not a businessman, but a, I always mispronounce the word, entrepreneur?
Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically, he had a, he started a whole chain of convenience stores. That's how he originally started making money. And then he sort of got tired of that. And then he had this idea about making biodiesel as a, competition with, regular gasoline and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of follows his ups and downs because, he falls out with his partner. He has, personal problems that he deals with that sort of causes him to sort of, go up and down in his business affairs. But then eventually he sort of has a happy ending where he sort of puts together a plan where he could get a biodiesel thing going. He's making it out of the the grease that all restaurants have to dispose of.
I got a buddy that converted his truck over to that.
Well, he would use that in combination with canola seeds, I think, canola oil.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was making biodiesel to run buses for the school system. You know, so it was sort of like a, you know, the businesses involved sort of got credit for, you know, helping out the local school system and, you know, making it cheaper for them and all this. So, he came up with this plan that seemed to be working at the end. So it kind of had a happy ending. And then the other woman is a woman profiled, like sort of a middle-aged black woman who worked in Youngstown. And, she worked in, the manufacturing jobs there, but then they were all closing down. So you get a little profile of Youngstown and what happened there. And then she eventually got involved in local politics and stuff. And, she sort of, found another way after, she eventually, she lost her jobs and, And then you get other sort of snapshots. Gingrich, Oprah Winfrey, Jay-Z.
Was there a family from Florida? A couple that lived in there?
Yeah, what he does is profile Tampa.
I actually saw those people in the parking lot. There was an article about them.
And I met Ted Leo on the weekend.
We got a homework assignment.
That's right.
What's the assignment?
It's a podcast.
Tom Lobel.
Modern Day Philosophers, episode 24. Artie Lang will be discussing Arthur Schopenhauer.
Standard homework, right?
Yeah.
All right, guys, take care.
See
you
all next week.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.